The title of today's address is Goodbye to the Old, Welcome the New. Right now in Sydney, Australians are preparing to count down the minutes to ring in the year 2024. And slowly, moving from east to west, country after country will mark the start of a new year with fireworks and celebrations. In those mixed-up days between Christmas and New Year, the media have run accounts of items that made the news in the year 2023. As I watch these, I'm struck at how quickly so many of them are already forgotten. Items that led the news for days or even weeks proved indeed to be much ado about nothing. In the absence of current political news, the newspapers concentrate on historic events in papers released under the 30-year rule of cabinet confidentiality. And some of those are of interest to historians and political analysts. But again, mostly we only glance at the old grainy photos and marvel at the dated fashion looks. And of course, analysts, and perhaps we, are speculating about what the year 2024 may bring. January is named after the Roman god Janus. And Janus is depicted having two faces. One face looks back, and the other face looks forward to the future. And that's an excellent representation of what is happening in Western culture at this time of the year. We review the past and attempt to peek into the future. But I think that the world is divided into two groups, the people who love to party in the new year and those of us who prefer to let it slip in quietly with little fuss. And of course, this is the time for New Year's resolution. And these, of course, are usually of short duration because although it may seem to be that the 1st of January is a good time to make a new beginning, on a practical level, it's not a sensible time to initiate changes. Christmas is still lingering. In 2005, the third Monday of January was named as the most depressing day of the year. 3 weeks into the new year, the most depressing day. And that's because the weather is cold, the nights are dark, the bills for Christmas are landing on the mat, and payday is still a distance away. And 3 weeks into the new year, we'd be probably beginning to realize that once again, we haven't managed to stick to the New Year's resolutions. And I keep going back every year to the article Theron wrote in Uskull some years ago when she suggested that the 1st of February is a far better time for New Year's resolutions. The days are brighter, the weather's warmer, it improves our mental outlook, and that gives a better hope of making some changes. And of course, celebrating this new year on the 1st of January is just a Western cultural tradition. The Chinese citizens will celebrate their new year on the 10th of February. Hindus will celebrate on the 9th of April. Jews will celebrate on the 2nd of October. And in Celtic tradition, the new year begins on the 1st of November. So it's just traditions. And yet, there's something about tradition that draws us to making resolutions to change on the 1st of January. I think it's something to do with having a new calendar, a new diary. The pages of the calendar are lovely and fresh and clean. There's no grubby marks on it. It's not creased. And it seems like an opportunity for changing ourselves as well. The sticking point is, of course, is that unlike the new diary and the new calendar, we carry the past with us. We are the sum of all our past experience, past thoughts, and past actions. And there is no delete key for those human experiences. There's no reset button on humans. We may try to turn a fresh page. We may try to bury the past, but it does come with us, unknown, on our shoulder, affecting us for good and for ill. And that reality is much clearer in the Celtic tradition of marking the passage of time. The Celts represented the passage of time using a circle. It's called the wheel of the year. So life moves in a circle. We move through the passing days. There's no arbitrary cut-off point that marks a new year. We pass through the cardinal markers on the wheel of time from, say, the winter solstice to Imbolc in February, the spring equinox, Bealtaine, and the summer solstice, and so on. It's a circle. Janus, the old god that looks to the past and the future, and that Celtic wheel of the year are both useful images when thinking about New Year and the possibility of making resolutions that may be more successful. But I think maybe the idea would be to take January to reflect and decide where you want to go. And as ever, we have to deal with the past events. Looking at past events may be interesting, but how do we review our individual past lives? Every 12-step program to recovery says that we must deal honestly with the past. And that's not about wallowing in guilt. Honestly facing up to the past is the path to healing. Accepting responsibility, accept what has happened, apologize, make amends, and forgive. Forgive yourself. Self-forgiveness is really important, as well as forgiving others. How often do we feel that, okay, we forgive so-and-so for doing so-and-so, but do you actually forgive yourself so that you can leave the past behind? Because until we make honest peace with the past, it will always shadow the present. Buddhism has useful pointers to helping change behavior. In the Buddhist tradition, the secret to changing behavior is to understand what motivates that behavior. And the path to understanding is to pay attention to what perhaps what we want to change. Pay attention to the emotion behind it. Why do you want to eat, drink, spend, or do whatever? Why do I want to do that? I want to change the behavior. Don't say, I'm just going to stop doing it. Say, why do I need to do it? And the thing about the Buddhists is say, just watch your behavior, note your emotions. And even as you're watching it, you will see it change. And that's really important. Notice it change, because change is a constant. When we change our emotions, only then will our actions change automatically, when we understand why it is we're doing something. So perhaps we can usefully spend sometime in January, paying attention to our past so that we can allow ourselves to change through understanding rather than stepping into a straitjacket of New Year's resolutions to change without understanding why. People say, oh, I eat too much. Why do you eat too much? You go on a diet, inevitably when the weight is gone, you forget the diet and it'll go back because the reason is still there. And when it comes to New Year resolutions, mostly the changes we consider making are trivial. That wonderful font of knowledge, Google, tells me that in the year 2022, the top five New Year's resolutions were exercise more, lose weight, get organized, learn a new skill, live life to the fullest. I think four of those resolutions boil down to rearranging the deck chairs of our lives. The reading I did this morning points to what could be a positive approach to help us do that useful one to live life to the fullest. When we think of moments of awe, we tend to focus on the big things. The awe of a starlit sky, the majesty of the mountains. In the reading, the writer points out that we should look for moments of awe in the small things in our lives. The natural world is filled with moments of love, of awe, and we are part of that world of nature. Look for the awe in yourself. That's something we don't think of doing very often. How often do we catch sight of our reflection in the mirror and turn away because we see only imperfections that are measured according to some arbitrary standard of what is considered beautiful? We see only the lines, the few extra pounds, the grey hair, the things we don't like about ourselves. Do we ever think to take time to see the wonder in ourselves? Are we ever awed by the gift of hearing, of sight, to wonder at how we move, the fact that we can speak, that we're here alive at this moment? The poet Walt Whitman wrote a beautiful poem, The Song of Myself, and in it he says, there is nothing except miracles. One of these lovely lines in the poem is, the narrowest hinge of my hand puts to scorn all machinery. Do we ever wonder at the fact that we can open and close our hands, that we have a strong grip and a precise grip, and that we do that automatically? Walt Whitman goes on to say, the mouse is miracle enough to stagger sextillions of infidels. Mouse, a dormouse, how much more complicated and awesome are we? So as we go into the new year, let's notice how we're living. Look at your past, not to feel guilty, not to get angry, but to understand how you're feeling and what you were doing. And see the miracles in yourself. We are the miracles. Being alive is a miracle. As we come to change the date on the calendar, it is just another day. But it's an opportunity to live the gift of life here and now. Time to be bowled over by the awe and miracle of yourself. So let's celebrate this new year. Celebrate the gift of life, love, the gift of your being here alive right now. Amen, and Happy New Year. I should be safely tucked into my bed before 12 o'clock tonight.